Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Interesting Weekend Chat with June Espresso, Casper Johannes, and Rubble. Today we have Stephanie, the creator of the Ashling character on the episode. I hope you also brought your surprise guest. Okay, anyway, we're going to chat today about visual storytelling and the new collection Dreamword Buddies by Stephanie that she has been working on this month. And before we start, I'd like to invite Casper, as usual, to give us the introduction of the Angel's Wing for our new listeners.
Hi, everyone. Welcome, Ashlyn, and all our listeners. Of course, our Angel's Wing was set up by international friends, like whom Yoon has introduced. That's Espresso, myself, Yoon, and Rebel, and Johannes, who were driven by our common passion to showcase our independent artists' art and helping them stand out from the crowded NFT market, which was dominated by generative 10K PFP projects. And of course, we showcased the art in an on-cyber virtual gallery that's expanding more and more through portals, as a larger collection of art brings a cross-pollination of viewership. We're glad to say that it's helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors rather effectively through sales. Of course, we've also grown organically since then into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends, with regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify, YouTube, you know the drill. The easiest way to get in touch with us would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link tree in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art NFT community. Yep, that's it. Back to you, Yoon.
Thank you for the introduction, Casper. I think I'm going to reveal our surprise guest first, Casper Scroll. So the Shadow Scroll PFP that you're seeing here on space, it's Stephanie's partner, Frankie, and they run Crocus Studios together, the company behind the creative work around the Ashling character and this entire comic world. Welcome, Stephanie and Frankie. Happy Sunday. How are you guys?
Hi, thank you for having us. I'm really excited to be here. Sunday's going well. I'm actually on the East Coast right now, and I was previously on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. You're in California, right?
Yeah, so I was living in California, and we're visiting New York right now.
Oh, that's exciting. But you guys are together today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's really great to finally be able to speak after seeing Steph hop on so many of these.
Yeah, that's so great to have the two of you on the same episode. I think it's fun also to interview a couple. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves first and tell us a bit about your backgrounds and how Crocus Studios came to life?
Oh, yeah. I'll jump in from the artist standpoint. And Frankie was one of my big introductions into the NFT space in general. And then we had all of these stories separately in the past that I had worked on. And he helped me weave them together and connect them all. And that kind of was the building blocks of Ashlyn's world. That's where kind of Chorus stemmed from. And then Ashlyn grew naturally from that. She's a little bit of me and I'm a little bit of her, but she's also her own entity in this world. And I'm going to let Frankie, Gus the Squirrel, now jump in and give a more deeper explanation into his involvement.
Yeah, so I come from this from an entertainment background. So what happened is I had started this job as an entrepreneur in residence at this big production company out in LA that had done like Aladdin and the Stephen King It movies and the Lego movies and are doing the new Avatar The Last Airbender that's coming out on Netflix, which everyone's excited about. But yeah, I had taken up this job at this production company and I was being tasked with A, trying to figure out what company I wanted to build next, but also B, just explore a bunch of different businesses for them. I was like sitting in these rooms with all these, we looked at kids' TV, we looked at podcasting, we looked at NFTs and Web3 because that was blowing up. And I was sitting in these rooms with all these like big NFT creators and And I think something just really lit up in my head. I'm like, wait, with every kind of big technological breakthrough, a new entertainment company has come from that. HBO came from cable. Pixar came from 3D animation. Warner Brothers came from black and white film. And I was like, and it made sense to me that the next big entertainment conglomerate would come from Web3. Of course, I bothered Steph about it incessantly, and she was very open-minded. I think it's been really wonderful. I think Steph had been in between jobs. She had been really trying to figure out her voice and her community, and this entire process has just been me empowering her to be more, to not be afraid to show her art to the world, and it's been really just fulfilling on my end as her partner.
Oh, that's such a wonderful story. I found it really interesting that you heard about NFTs through the entertainment industry. How would you say was like the transition from the film world to the NFT space?
Very different, because it's, I went from like an industry where they want 3 to 7 meetings before any big decisions to like a bunch of degens in a Discord. So I think on that layer of just meetings to execution, it's just been drastically lowered. I know the concept is also very fascinating, and decentralized decision making in general. I feel like I've accessed my inner child again.
Ah, that's wonderful. So as Stephanie already said, that you guys, you collaborate on the creative part also, right? Because this is how also the Ashling work came to life. And I can imagine that, Frankie, you also bring a lot of experience from cinematic storytelling, I think. What would you guys say are some of the secrets of creating stories that resonate with an audience?
Ooh, one thing we always come together on, and this was really big, choose your own adventure style when we have the audience making decisions. Something I personally always struggled with was storytelling, or like really piecing things together. Like I felt very comfortable visually interpreting things, but as far as coming up with full complete storylines on my own is difficult for me. And then Frankie's such a natural storyteller that he takes these things that I make and he helps envision this whole story behind it. I think another part, when we had like the adventure comics, he taught me a lot about raising the stakes, because I just want people to be involved and feel like they can do anything. And then he would help me bounce back and forth and on like what would make people feel the most engaged and why would they want to engage in this, and that is if they have a big impact. So that's something we try to keep in mind a lot too with the interactive elements. When you make this decision, it's going to have a big effect.
Steph is too kind. I feel like my job is just, I like make a funnel, or try to make a metaphorical funnel, and then I try to help Steph basically figure out her creativity, because she's so naturally creative. There's so many times where I'll spend half an hour just trying to figure out this like creative decision, and she'll come in and she'll just say, oh, why don't we just try this? And that's exactly the answer I was looking for, but couldn't think of in my head. She is so naturally creative. I also want to mention that like storytelling in Web3 is so different from more traditional kind of Web2 or whatever you call it, more narrative storytelling. And it's so interactive, and so much of it occurs on Twitter. And NFTs give it a different dynamic that it's just automatically just feels a lot more personal and interactive. That, I think, supersedes the actual narrative in a lot of ways, which was really interesting for me to experience.
So does this idea of the interactive storytelling part in the collections come basically from you, Frankie?
Not at all. It's all Steph.
Okay. Yeah, I think you guys are like just a super creative power couple. You guys are just complement each other very well. Casper, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I'm always very interested to find out how Frankie and Stephanie, you guys met. Did you guys meet first as friends? I'm always interested to find out how people meet in the Web3 space and their stories behind it. It's always really interesting. It's like our story of how the Angel's Wing started was Johannes clicking on a link that I sent him on Cyber Gallery. How did you guys get started getting together?
Oh, so the way that we met each other was actually 6 years ago now on Tinder.
Yeah, it was very modern. We kind of just met online.
Okay, so it's a Web2 experience first.
Yes. Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, and I'm from New York, so I was working in Manhattan at the time in this cafe, and Steph was going to art school, and we just connected, and I don't know, it's 6 years later, and yeah. A lot of ups and downs, and we moved cross-country together. It's been great.
Thanks for sharing.
Stephanie, so since the last time we spoke on the Weekend Chat, you have created more pieces for different NFT communities, comic stories, and I think also the PFPR collection. And right now you're working on the DreamWorld Buddies collection, which involves interactive storytelling and games. This month is all about squirrels. And I wonder what's behind all this obsession with squirrels. Is this something that, like, the love that you both share, or?
There's two funny parts to this squirrel collection. The origin of just the squirrels in general does stem from back home. We started feeding some local squirrels the occasional peanut, and they're adorable.
That's an understatement. The occasional peanut. Their family will buy like 2 tons of like 10, they get 10 bags of like 10-pound peanuts shipped every other week. I swear. I just see it fill up the house, and they have these macho squirrels in the backyard that won't stop eating, and those squirrels have started squirrels, and those squirrels have started
If
families.
you're a person who just finds random peanut shells around your yard, it's probably from me. I'm sorry. But part of the squirrel collection also stems heavily back to the choice that our community made in our comic series when they chose to stay with the squirrel army. That then unlocked this path to these squirrel buddies, basically.
And I think on an operational level, that's just how we've always operated. It's let's start small, let's build incrementally, let's iterate and just see what the community wants. So Struba Gnome ended up leading this gigantic squirrel army to
Oh, yeah.
overtake the tarot card vote like 3 months ago. And then we decided, okay, let's lean into the squirrel lore. Similarly, I think it was Casper who asked 3 months ago or 2 months ago about whether or not he could commission his own PFP that launched the Auras collection, which now has 41 PFPs in there. So
Yeah.
I think that's been a common theme for us. Let's just iterate and build interactive worlds around what people want.
Stephanie, can you tell us a bit about the backstory of the DreamWorld Buddies again? I think it's related to the Golden Squirrel statue, a previous comic idea that you had in a previous collection.
Oh, yeah. The first comics we started making, specifically revolving around Ashlyn's story, was the idea that she has these really vivid dreams that almost transport her to another place. And she's trying to find her way back to her dad, who's currently missing. And these mysterious things keep happening in her dreams. And one of the things that called out to her in her dreams was this squirrel statue. And we opened up some decision making to the community, and the community chose to follow this mysterious statue. By interacting with that teleported her. Then our next comic was about what happened when she interacted with it. And what happened when she did was she was teleported to this squirrel village where actually Shroom's squirrel PFP was introduced, Jeshk. And he explained a little bit more about how these squirrels are struggling and they're facing some like mysterious creature. When that happens, a mysterious creature actually snatches and steals the squirrel statue. So this whole battle of these squirrels is now to try to get it back. And hopefully we'll discover what the secret behind this squirrel statue is.
That's so exciting. So, what else have you actually planned for the collection? You're mentioning that there will be additional characters besides squirrels.
Yeah, so there's in the whole Buddies collection, there will be two more collections of Buddies. And there's a little sneak peek on the Dream Buddies website of what they might look like. The next batch will be puppets, and the batch after that will be these familiars. And they're all intended to have like different minting experiences with interactive elements.
Nice. I wondered also, I mean, since you worked on so many different collections, what was actually your favorite collection you've worked on so far?
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie, my favorite is the squirrels now. Every time I work on a new one, I'm like, this is my favorite now.
I should have guessed that because you have an obsession with squirrels.
But I love making the custom portraits for the auras and like the connection that I feel with that person when I'm working on it. Every single one of them, I have a special memory attached to it now.
So, We usually like to talk about creative processes here on Space. And I think, Stephanie, you're very good at bringing your characters to life. And so I wonder, how do you start layering the different dimensions of personality into your characters?
Oh, yeah. What I'm trying to do a lot with this one is give up that control of who they are. And it's been really exciting. Like the squirrels opening up this idea of naming them and giving their own backstory and then working backwards from there to build around what other people have chosen is really exciting. Because there's a hint of a personality. Obviously, when I was making them, I was like, the weightlifting squirrel, he's probably got some kind of personality in there. I've fleshed out a personality on my own for is Ashlyn and Gus the squirrel, who is, I will allow to remain a mystery for a little bit. But yeah, Ashlyn, I meant to try to make her kind of cool, but then I accidentally just ended up making her more like me.
I think you're cool. But yeah, I think what's been really wonderful for us to see is when Steph creates these characters, we both imprint our own biases onto these characters. But at the end of the day, we allow our holders to write whatever story and give them whatever names that they want, just like you would with a real pet. I think for Jimeth, we were actually calling him behind the scenes the Chad Squirrel. Look at this Giga Chad Squirrel. He's such a bro.
But Jimothy is so perfect.
Yeah, but then Coco buys Jimeth, and Coco gives Jimothy this tragic backstory.
Oh my god, yeah.
On a dead friend and how he lives
today. That felt so bad, making him so two-dimensional in my brain.
Yeah, so now Jimothy is this well-rounded character who could be the person that could save his friend that he couldn't save in the past, and it's just really beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
And that's what's beautiful about what the squirrels have become.
I know, it makes me want to make more, because I just want to see what more people have to say about their little babies.
So do you guys, like, when you're together, do you, like, brainstorm all day about different ideas, creative ideas? Because it's just so fun to listen to you guys, how you, like, interact and talk about ideas.
Oh, yeah. Right from the start, I had a handful of ideas I wanted to try out with the squirrels. And then definitely, like, at least a third or halfway through, I was like, Frankie, I have no ideas left. Like, I need you to help me come up with some squirrels. And we would have, like, brainstorming sessions. And sometimes it would just end up being really fun. Obviously, that's how Giga Chad Squirrel was born a little bit.
They just hit the cutting room floor, which I'm still sad about. I was very excited about this Steve Jobs squirrel with these New Balances that he would wear all the time, but these like geeky glasses, and he would use his iPad as a weapon, like a wooden iPad as a weapon. And
yeah, and sometimes it'll accidentally change as I'm making it. So for two of the squirrels, the one that kind of looks like a daredevil, I meant to make look like a superhero.
Yeah.
But it ended up so minimalistic. And as I added stuff, I was like, nah, he's more of a daredevil. And then I meant to draw a vampire squirrel, and then he turned into the werewolf squirrel.
Yeah. But I also do want to add that it's not always smooth flowing. There's certain times where when Steph is in the flow, I'm out of the flow. Or when I'm in the flow, Steph is out of the flow. And we'll just go to each other and say, hey, let's brainstorm right now. And we'll just interrupt each other's creative flows. And that's been a really big learning process. Because usually I get up a little earlier and I'm right in my flow when Steph gets up. And sometimes she'll want to talk about something. And then I'm like, oh, I'm in the middle of something. And so that's been a really big learning process. I think it's very unique too, because we live together and we're partners as well. So it does have its challenges.
So now we schedule out specific times for us to take breaks together, because for some reason, yeah, those flows just do not line up naturally. We're always on like opposite flow states.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. So Frankie, you also went to art school, right? I think.
No, I went to a very preppy college in Boston that had nothing to do with art.
Okay, I thought your background was also in art.
He won't say it, but he went to Harvard.
I see. Okay. But how did you end up in the film industry?
Through many disappointing conversations with my dad and telling him that I'm going to be the doctor he wants me to be. I don't know. I always liked film. I grew up watching a lot of TV. I think many of us have that same feeling. And then in college, I didn't know anyone because I come from first generation. My specific bracket, it was like first generation low income, and I didn't have any connections, and my parents didn't have any money to get me connections. So it was really hard. But what I did do in college is I created this nonprofit that ended up raising a lot of money from a lot of really big executives, and we raised money from Amazon, from Sony, from Disney, from Lin-Manuel Miranda, and his foundation, the Miranda Family Fund. And that was my kickstart into Hollywood and all of that. And then I interned out in Hollywood, and I worked at production companies and talent agencies. When I graduated, yeah, just finding a pretty great job there. But then the entrepreneurial bug bit me, and I decided that I don't like 401ks. So here we are. Here we are with many squirrels and a lot of, a lot of fun and every day, but no 401k.
I think it was a happy decision, I think, to like work together as a couple on something that you both enjoy. I wonder whether there has been some like influence from people or other artists that influenced the style that you create your characters, Stephanie?
Oh yeah, a whole bunch of different animation influences at once. In fact, one of my favorite artists from when I was a wee little middle schooler, her name is M.E.C. I think M.E.C. Ciorega or something. But I remember following her DeviantArt every day, and she made these comics that I just thought were freaking hilarious. And I found out she's actually a storyboard artist, and she worked on like Gravity Falls and I think DuckTales too, which makes sense because I loved Gravity Falls and I thought it was hilarious. I think obviously there's a little bit of like Adventure Time influence in there too with the little beady eyes.
Yeah.
Casper, do you want to go ahead with your question?
Oh, no. Espresso, you want to go first?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, hi. Fascinating to hear. And my question is more on the side of kind of comparing entertainment industry before and after Web3, because I'm curious how different Web3 is. And you've mentioned several times, like, putting decisions up to the community, letting them give input on where the story is going, what's happening. And is this a kind of distinct Web3 thing that's not really possible in the same way in the entertainment industry at large? Or what's your take on that?
We actually talk about this a lot, right, Steph? We actually compare it to video games a lot, right?
Oh, video games and the D&D too.
Yeah, Steph is a D&D nerd. She'll spend an entire day just playing D, and I'm looking at her, I'm like, there's nothing to watch. You're just rolling a dice and talking.
But it's, you all have, I remember the very first time I had my first D&D session, and I was sitting at the table. I was like, wow, did you all just see what I just saw? And then from the outside perspective, it's just a bunch of people huddled over some dice on a table.
Nerds. But yeah, I totally agree. I feel like on a more, I don't know.
But I feel like every time I experience one of those choose your own adventure, you have interaction with it outside of Web3. It's been such a small scale, right? You get together with your friends and you experience it together. Every piece of media or a choose your own adventure book, it's you as the individual and just this book that you're experiencing alone. Or even the movies where it's just you and the movie, right? But now I think Web3, for some reason, I think it's because of the way that the communities come together, the idea of the Discords, the DAOs working together, the collaboration of everyone together, and the excitement that happens when you all feel like you had an effect on something.
And that's what we're interested in. I think while I was in Hollywood and seeing a bunch of Web3 things pop up, that wasn't super interesting to me, to use NFTs as just a crowdfunding mechanism to finance a very Web2 movie. That wasn't interesting to me at all. I think what was interesting to me is creating a new medium. What would it look like if you were to put Web3 native storytelling medium truly look like, and not just let's write a book, but let's have NFTs finance, or let's start a membership club of like Web3 merchandise? That just wasn't super interesting. And that's something we talk about every day almost, where we're trying to figure out iterate towards what like a truly community generated story looks like, but still with obviously Steph leading that creative input and being the creative leader in shaping everything.
Thank you. Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. And very interesting to hear how kind of Web3 is in a way scaling up the storytelling. Like, it's not only your friends meeting over dinner and playing afterwards, right? It's on Twitter, it's on Discord. And also how I think these help with kind of people's attachment to this. They have a stake in it. They follow it. And
Yeah. Because there's ownership. And I know this last thing I'll say, it's when we pitch this idea to people in Hollywood, we haven't done a lot of it, just a couple executives, they're always like, oh, but you need a George Lucas. You need a Steven Spielberg to direct a show. But I think in a lot of ways, yes, if you're making a movie that has a linear narrative, that might be important. But if you're creating like a Web3 storytelling experience, that might not be as important. Although, to this day, I'll fight anyone that argues that Steph isn't one of the most creative people that they've ever met.
That's nice. Yeah. And we are very impressed and amazed by these stories. There have been several of these stories unfolding. And yeah, it's amazing to watch this universe being made. So that's awesome. Yeah. And Casper, you go next.
Yeah. Frankie and Steph, by the way, you guys sound like you're really cool together, both as partners in real life and in the metaverse. So kudos to you two. Actually, my question is more on actually the creative process behind it, because no matter how hard I try to look for actual answers to how the world is going to be shaping up, I think you also touched on how you try to give a lot of flexibility to the people that bought the NFTs into shaping the world. But my question would be, how much of the world is really in your mind fixed, and how much of it is really you guys just going with the flow, and how do you guys manage the tension between that?
Oh yeah, that was one of our hardest challenges, was this idea of having a grip on something like some rules of the world to give people something to bounce off of, because I think it would be too much if there wasn't anything to go off of. So we do have like somewhat of a main storyline and ideas of important characters and things that do need to be encountered. And then, yeah, the hard part was like, how fluid do we make this, and how would that affect the pacing, and how like off the rails can we go? Yeah. And I think we've been experimenting with going with the flow and finding a way with, if we go with the flow, how to reroute that back to a certain thing that we might need to find, and also letting things just completely fall apart and like building something else from scratch. Yeah.
Just from our experiences and my prior, built a couple of failed startups in the past. Like, the one universal truth that I remind Steph over and over again is people do not like to read. I don't even like to read. So I think that's always the push and pull around the storytelling aspect. Like, yes, we could write a like 2000 word document on like the universal truths of what the lore is in this world, but I swear to God, no one will read that. I don't even want to read that.
And that's the challenge too, formatting it to Twitter. So one of the big things we always go back to is formatting for Twitter in a really digestible way, which is like, how little text can we use as possible while giving the most information with nice images like sprinkled between, because I'm a picture book. The other one was, oh, I just lost it.
I can jump in. This is definitely a little bit of a tangent, but I think that at the end of the day, what we've realized is that we want to create an experience where anyone can jump in at any moment and still,
That's exactly what I lost. Okay, yeah, great. Just that people could jump in at any moment and not have to feel like they need to catch up on 3 books worth of lore. Yeah,
I'm not watching Game of Thrones because there's 7 seasons, so I'm not even going to touch House of Dragon. So I think that for us, it's really important. That was a very big realization and pivot that we had, where we were like, let's not try to create 7 seasons of lore. Let's just try to create fun experiences and that people can participate in, no matter how much kind of comprehension they have in the lore.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find the perfect balance between sneaking in a lot of nice details and Easter eggs for people who are really into starting from the beginning and really getting into the lore. And, like, I see finding all those squirrels in all of those comics. And then, because I love that. And then also, but not having people feel intimidated jumping in at any moment.
It's hard. That's the short answer.
Yeah, no, my question came mainly because you guys reminded me of filmmaking and storytelling. And it brought me to the concept of films, which are supposed to have multiple endings and allow the user or the viewer to interact with the movie. And I don't think I've seen a review of a successful one, because the more flexibility you give your viewers, it spoils, or rather, it doesn't give as focused a storyline and a plot that you want to tell as a producer or a director, if that makes sense. So that's why I was very interested to understand like the creative process behind it and how you guys managed that tension, because it definitely I think our listeners would appreciate what you said about not having 7 books of lore and being able to jump in whenever we can. I think that's the feature, the defining feature of crypto Twitter or even NFTs, right? It moves so fast. Yeah, thanks for sharing. If you have any other insights to share about how to manage this give and take between flexibility and having a fixed storyline, that'd be great.
Depends on the media. That's my initial reaction. It really does depend on the medium. If it's over Twitter, the timelines are built like ADHD, basically. So we don't really have that much room for grabbing attention. But I think naturally we're just changing it up. But if we ever get a movie made and everyone's sitting in front of a screen for an hour and a half to 2 or 3 hours, then I think it's a totally different conversation in terms of like how to build a narrative versus a podcast where it's a lot more passive consumption. I think that's where my brain goes as someone that comes from the entertainment industry. A lot of the creative forces around it really depend on what medium you're trying to express it through.
That's a good way of putting it. It's really dependent on the medium and there's no one right answer for it. Okay, the most important question. Why does my squirrel meter only say 30%?
Oh, it's a mystery. I'm having so much fun.
You'll never see it coming.
No one knows what this mystery means. I swear, no one will know what this
mystery. On behalf of the flying squirrels, I demand that it be moved to 100.
I promise the mystery meters will be revealed as we get closer to Halloween.
Oh man, I can hardly wait. Anyway, Johannes, you are next.
If it makes you feel better, they're also temporary, so this ugly green meter won't be sitting on your NFT forever. It'll be done after Halloween.
Yeah.
And they'll go back to being adorable little squirrels.
Okay, I'll take that.
First of all, I have to excuse. I completely missed all the squirrel game. So as somebody who's completely new to the topic, could you please explain to me why there are so many squirrels, why they are so different, and why do they fight against each other? Please tell me a little bit more. I'm just seeing in my Twitter timeline, squirrels fighting to death. Why?
So just like the base layer of the squirrels is that they're your buddy. So you can adopt them and name them and give them a story. And that's what they're at the root of the NFT. But for this eventful month and for the storyline, their little squirrel narrative, they're preparing for a large battle to reclaim the golden squirrel statue. And while they prepare, I promise they're not fighting to the death. It's just a friendly sparring. So it's like a training. They're pairing up to train with each other. And we turned it into a game so that whoever wins the training bracket.
Yeah. And I don't think you need to understand all of that to submit a bracket and vote for whoever you want to vote for.
Oh yeah, feel free to just jump in, look at some squirrels, and vote for who you think's gonna win.
Yeah.
So you can confirm that no squirrel is really harmed.
Yeah, no squirrels will be harmed in the making of any of these events. Except maybe for the mystery meter.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that mystery meter.
I wonder.
Do you actually plan to illustrate the squirrel battle?
I do, actually. There will be a picture of squirrels
not all
this month.
Not all of them. I think the first round, there are 25, 4 squirrels, so there are 12 battles in the first round. That might be a little overkill, but as it gets closer to the final rounds.
Yeah, I think for the very first round, I'm going to sprinkle in a few, and then definitely for the later rounds, they would each get one.
But oh my god, some of the rounds, I'm just like, oh, I wish Steph could show us what that looks like. Like the Muscle Jimothy squirrel versus the old Senpai squirrel.
Oh my god, because it was randomized who got matched up with who, and I felt so terrible. I put this like sweet old squirrel with this shredded Jimothy.
Yeah.
But we'll see, who knows?
Who knows?
That sounds so fun. You guys mentioned different media. I wonder whether you plan to explore other media beyond visuals, animation, like movies or something, or a podcast, something in that direction.
We did have dreams like in the long term of onboarding like a lot of creators and having them be compensated and being able to take the world. So Ashlyn's a piece of this chorus world. And the idea of having any creative come and step into this world and create their own art from that and their own stories and their own in any medium
That was always the plan, in my head at least. Things change all the time, but as of now, that's still the plan. I think the idea was always, let's have built this world, let's have people come in, own specific storylines, and help in creating that. I think Stroop was trying to push this, like, Stroop and his raccoon squirrel. I'm a butcher.
Oh, yes, the detective duo, yeah. Jashk and...
He owns two squirrels, and he built this, like, detective storyline a little bit. It was just a paragraph around them. And the second I saw that, my head just started going, oh, my God, this is what it's about. This is, like, what Web3 storytelling is. Anyone can come in, anyone can make a story, and then we can help them figure things out. Of course, I probably wouldn't be the one to write it all if he wanted to. But yeah, I think in the long run, that was always the plan, to figure out decentralized storytelling and see if there are adaptation angles there. We did speak recently with a production company in Hollywood that wanted to partner with us, but I think we're postponing talks with them just because we're so early in what we're trying to build. But yeah, like audio, film, TV, comics... Nothing's off the table.
Like comic book or would be probably something that would also make sense to put all these stories together and to create a whole story around them.
Yeah, definitely. That would be a fun thing to do. And also to help make it easier to keep track of the Ashlyn storyline to turn into like a comic form that people could have and hold.
I actually invited Trump as a speaker because I would really love to hear the story, how he came up with the names for his two squirrels. Just funny.
Before the squirrel collection, we approached him because he had purchased the squirrel statue and he collaborated to make the character of Jesh before the squirrel collection even came out.
Just a question. The tournament and the brackets, that's open for everyone, right? Even those of us that missed out on getting one of these squirrels, right?
Oh, yeah. So we wanted to make sure that everything was open to everyone, whether you had a squirrel or not. Everyone was absolutely free to submit a bracket, and they are all eligible to win the free squirrel NFT.
Yeah, and the ETH. Wait, no, the ETH is for squirrel holders.
Yeah, so the 0.5 ETH reward is for the squirrels in the tournament, and then the squirrel NFT reward is for anyone who submits a bracket.
But beware, depending on who you vote for to win the tournament, you may lose friendships.
Yeah, I need to be careful here. And follow-up question. I noticed in the second round there are like three squirrels against each other. How does that work?
Oh, yeah. We will be rolling like a d12. And whoever gets the highest roll will win said match. And we're going to also implement a voting mechanic where people can try to vote for their favorite and try to give them a little +2 boost. And then so for the three that get matched up together, we will be doing a roll for each of them, and then the voting mechanic will still stand, and whoever has the highest will win.
But if you're wondering why it's the only kind of three-person battle royale in the entire tournament, it was just simple math. We were trying to make a bracket, and there was an odd number if we didn't do that, so we decided to do that in the second round.
Yeah, because otherwise we would have had to keep like passing a squirrel forward without... doing the role, and we felt like it was more fair to just compensate and make sure everyone is in a match.
Yeah, makes sense.
Trump just joined as a speaker. Hi, Trump. Do you want to tell us a bit about how you came up with the names for your two squirrels?
Good morning. Sure. So Jeshk was actually from the show called What We Do in the Shadows, which is like a vampire comedy.
The name
comes from one of the main characters, Nacha, can't pronounce the reincarnated lover Gregor's new name, Jeff, because she's from Eastern Europe or something. So she kept calling him Jeshk. The other one is, I was just thinking that like squirrel language probably wouldn't have much to do with English. So I just had a weird noise I like to make, and it's pronounced or which is, I got from watching a documentary on mating calls of tree squirrels.
I'm actually laughing out now.
I've heard quite a few of those in the yard.
This is just so funny.
I have to arm you to laugh.
You should have seen my face when I found out that the sound they were making, I thought it was like an alarm call if there was a predator nearby, and then I looked it up and it was like, all my squirrels are mating.
Oh. Oh no.
Shrump, do you actually also feed squirrels? and buy tons of bags of like peanuts or whatever.
Not yet, but maybe I'll put it on the agenda.
Seth's family's monthly expense for peanuts or squirrel feeding, squirrel toys and food has to be in the hundreds.
No.
Are you sure?
No. Okay. They get it at Costco. It's got a good deal.
She's in denial.
This girl from the entire neighborhood is probably in the yard. I could imagine. I remember that, Casper, you got a question.
Yeah, Frankie, I'm always going back to the serious question. I'm really interested because you come from the entertainment industry and of course you have huge connections with all the producers and people you mentioned. You do talk to them about potentially investing in some of the projects. As some hopium for all of us who are still early in NFTs, what's the feedback that you've been getting from them on a no BS basis? Like, how do they view NFTs? Are we really still early? Are you hearing that they're still rather dismissive? They still can't see our point of view? And we just need to wait for another generation of new executives to come on board?
That's a really good question. I feel like you can never take what they say at face value, because you see what's happened to the industry now with streaming. They were, even if you just look at streaming in a microcosm, they're like, oh, DVDs are the future. We're making so much money off of DVDs. Okay, Netflix wants to buy licensing rights to Friends. Go for it. Take it. And then it turns out streaming is an enormously profitable business and Netflix is a massive company. So all of a sudden they decide that they should probably build their own streaming platforms. And Disney Plus is probably the only one that succeeded. You could probably count HBO Max, depending on who you are. Then now all of a sudden, streaming isn't a profitable business in a recession. So now all of a sudden they're like, oh, let's go back to movie theaters. Let's put movies back into movie theaters. So I wouldn't put that much face value on what the legacy execs think to some extent, just because they're so reactionary and it's not their fault. That's what took me a long time to learn. It's just institutionally and structurally, the incentives aren't aligned so that they're rewarded for discovering and embracing new innovations. They're rewarded for greenlighting Marvel movies and readapting. What was the terrible adaptation we just had? You know what? There are way too many. I don't mean to say anything. For doing a new Saw movie or doing the 10th Halloween movie. That's what the incentives are aligned at right now. But a lot of the independent producers, I will say this, a lot of the independent producers. So the way the Hollywood works is, producers are like your freelancers that sell projects to studios, and studios will finance movies. So a lot of the producers who actually don't hold the green light, they're more of the creative partners. They're looking at NFTs with wide eyes because they see it as the new financing mechanism, which I think it's so much more than a financing mechanism, but I feel like that's where they're at right now. Oh, if studios won't finance our movies, maybe NFTs can. And I think they're just... But let's be honest, when you look at the big blue... When you look at the Bored Apes, they're not necessarily a media IP. And I think when you're Hollywood, you only really see the big blue chips. And yeah, I can't give you a definite answer. I just know that they're interested. They're willing to embrace it to some extent, and we need them to embrace it in order for NFTs to hit mass adoption or NFT brands to hit mass adoption. But it's going to be slow and it's going to take a minute.
Yeah, interesting perspectives. At least, like I said, there's some hopium for us that there's a fraction of them that's looking at it positively and not dismissing it, which is great for us because, yeah, I think you're right in a sense that a lot of where we are now, nobody's really incentivized to make the first step because we're all in the early adoption phase right now. And the money is probably still best made in the traditional mediums. Thanks for the perspective.
So we're coming to the end of our space. And are there any final questions from anyone before we close?
Steph, any alpha for our squirrel listeners? Only for the listeners. We're going to edit this out of the recording.
Or not.
Alpha. All right, the mystery meter. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait, 1 second. I'm going to discuss with her offline and then we'll get back to you in a second.
This is fun.
Why should we cut out the alpha?
We will get mystery meter alpha. It may not be a good thing.
That your meter is actually high. So you may prefer a lower mystery meter. That's the alpha.
The alpha.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'll take it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much, Steph and Frankie, for this really wonderful and inspiring chat with you guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and have a great time in New York. And thank you for everyone who listened in today, and thank you to our co-hosts. Have a great Sunday. Bye.
Have a great Sunday. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks.
Thank you. In time.